All along this year, we've been thinking about how to include, how to honor, how to recognize, how to connect with everyone. Meeting people where they are with what we have to offer. That's what that means. Completing, as we said in there, the circle. The circle. Giving, receiving, giving, compassion, caring with. This service came to mind. Helen Bishop said to me, I think we need to do a service like this. And I said, I'm not sure where we can put it in. And then we said, March 30th, let's do it. And I said, I'm not quite ready for that. But that's what every one of these people did. They didn't wait till they were ready. They just did it. They got it together. They actually gathered together a congregation. That's what you do. It's not special people. It's just every one of us. We just do it on a Sunday morning or in a volunteer situation or in any space. We decide, okay, we're going to move out of that space and gather together. What I wrote in the newsletter was, gathered here in one strong body, this congregation, this fellowship. Robert Walsh says gathering. He puts it side by side, but he begins by saying, when we tell the story of our very old New England congregation, we say it was gathered in 1632. That's almost 400 years old. The history of our congregation is now 35 years old. But it had the same beginnings of people who wanted a congregation. It stayed alive in the same way that that congregation has stayed alive for 400 years. We emerge from this tradition, and it is us that carries us forward. One of the things that this came out of was our group that has now been charged, volunteers, to create a strategic plan. Many of you in business know what a strategic plan is. You had to create them. We can do it, but the question is why? Why do we care? That's the big question. What are our restless hopes, our passions that take us beyond our routine, and that are the feelings, the concerns, the needs, the reasons, the gifts that cause us to gather up here? What are the things that give us cause to even want to plan? So what we did was we came up with a group of questions because we said the first among us had reason to plan. They knew what they wanted to do. And so let's go back to them and just ask how that is, because we are all in that space all the time. The first among us who did and who continue to do. And these were the questions. What hopes did you bring here? What were the restless hopes that drew you together in the first place? What gifts have you found here? What has made you proud of this congregation? What ongoing narrative would you like to unfold in the future? What is the story? And that's what we called up all of the people who were still around from this group of early gatherers to say, and what we're doing is going to ask them to speak in order of how they came to the congregation. And the first is Eileen Hughes in 1985. Do you want me to hand you the mic? Would you like a mic? Use this one.
I'm almost a stranger here right now. I've come and I've gone, and the reason I did get here was I had become a widow, and two members of this group I was familiar with, and they convinced me to come here because I felt that I didn't have any religion at that time, and I don't know whether we call this a religion or not, but I found it fit just the way I feel. And it was a very pleasant contact that I had.
Thank you. Gene Allen in 1987. The good news is there are only two. The good news is there are only two stairs.
Yes, yeah, right. Twice in my early years, I became aware of Unitarian Universalism, once when I was in college, and once for several years, I belonged to the Bach Choir of Pittsburgh, which rehearsed at the UU Church in Shadyside. My husband was a United Methodist minister. In almost every church he served, there were individuals who chided him for being too liberal. In one town, a neighbor who hoped to show him the error of his ways gave him a book titled Baal or God, which presented excerpts from various publications in an attempt to show the superiority of conservative over liberal thinking. It introduced us to writers we had been unaware of, and many of whom were Unitarian Universalists. We were so intrigued that often when we were away on vacation, we sought out a UU church. We always received a warm welcome and heard sermons that stimulated and challenged us. Jim retired in 1987, and for a while, we attended the early service at First United Methodist in Hendersonville, and then the 11 o'clock service of the Fellowship at Opportunity House. After a year or so, we stopped going to First United Methodist. At the Fellowship, we found genuine welcome and reveled in the freedom to express opinions and ask questions, knowing that we would be heard with respectful consideration and answered without a hint of dogma or manipulation. Through the years, we have been proud to be among people who give generously of themselves in service to the community at large. In the future, my hope is to see our influence spread so that more and more people find the way to freedom from regimented and suffocating religion.
Wow, Polly. Polly Crabtree came in 1988.
Three quick stories illustrate why I'm proud of our fellowship. First of all, long ago when we were looking for a building to buy, we considered the Jehovah's Witness building, which is now the Sammy Williams Center at the corner of 3rd and Justice. Their group was quite taken aback by us, I'm sure, for many reasons, not the least of which was that our president was a woman, Barbara Hochschild. When our congregation met there to check out the building, they asked her ahead of time to ask all of us women not to wear pants. We needed to wear dresses or skirts. Barbara explained that we were not the kind of group that could tell our members what to wear. I also remember the time Wendell and Deanna took our entire RE department, which by that time had grown to a few more children than just mine, in their van, all of us, and we drove all over Hendersonville and saw all the places that Wendell had spoken about, where we had history, where we'd met. But my favorite story is really Walt Cottingham's story, and I actually saw him yesterday and got permission to tell the story. When my daughter was in one of his classes at Hendersonville High School, they were having their usual interesting debate in class. My daughter Elizabeth never said much in class, but one of her classmates, who was the son of a fundamentalist minister, often had plenty to say. Someone had made some point about religion, and the boy spoke up saying, "Well, if you're going to believe that, you might as well be a Unitarian." In that split second, Walt looked at Elizabeth, Elizabeth looked at Walt, then they just went right on, no one said anything. And I just want to say, as a person that went to a friend's Episcopalian memorial service yesterday, and I'm going to another one at the same church tomorrow, we have the best hymns in our hymnal.
Barbara Eck is going to read Vi Blount's comments. Vi and Dick came on in 1990.
lives in Ohio now, but she wrote this wonderful letter describing her thoughts of the early days. Here are a few thoughts of my life at UUFH. We came to Hendersonville in 1978, joined the Asheville Church, and were members there for 6 years. The first UUFH service we went to was in the Girl Scout cabin, where it was so cold we had to keep our coats on. The UUFH was a big part of our lives. Dick was involved in finance. I was president the first year we were in the church building. Our hopes in joining were that we would find a congenial, caring, spiritual home and a community that was fulfilled. And that was fulfilled. The gifts the fellowship provided were lasting friendships and personal growth in the participation in the services, the choir, the tutoring program for the Head Start mothers, and for me, the opportunity to serve as president. I still follow the fortunes of UUFH and am so proud of the vitality of the membership, the quality of the leadership, and the development of the music program, which has resulted in meaningful programs and Sunday services while we were there, and it has continued to the present. Ongoing, I wish for a strong UU presence in the area, the continued health of the organization, and a continuing influence and impact on the community in terms of outreach and social services. We returned to Ohio in 2005, and how I miss you all and those beautiful mountains.
And Evelyn, you are going to hear your comments in Eleanor Palmer's voice.
Mary Heiberger interviewed Evelyn Bellows to talk with her about her memories of, or her early memories of the UUFH. She has lots of fond memories of her life at the Opportunity Houses. She remembers her first visit there being warmly greeted by Betty Dickinson and Wendell Capes speaking. Ellen Perstein sat next to her. At the time, she thought there were 60 active members. She loved the Easy Striders hikes led by Dean Crawford. She also enjoyed summer picnics when the church was not in session. They were held at Martha Howard's house, Dr. Shetterly's house at Home State Forest, and DuPont State Forest. Evelyn remembers being in charge of the decorations and flowers for Sunday services at the Opportunity Houses, and she very much enjoyed this. When asked about her hopes, Evelyn talked about her former membership at the UU Church in Morristown, New Jersey. She was looking for an open, progressive, like-minded people to be around. She wanted a faith that was open with no rigorous dogma and people that she could share with, that she could share her values, morals, and ethics with. When asked about gifts, Evelyn talked about her friendships and the once in a while inspiring sermon. She liked the security of knowing that there was a community to whom she can relate. When asked about what she was proud of, she talked about the outreach program, the activities to reach out to the community, and social justice. She also was proud about the UU Fellowship in Hendersonville and all the people who are so fabulously talented and share their wisdom and creativity. She regrets not being able to get to know the new wave of members because of vision problems. She finds that Jim is a very caring person, and when is well prepared, he gives a very nice message on Sunday. When asked about the future narrative of the church, Evelyn talked about spreading our gospel, making UU appealing to more people. So when people are aware of the UU, they will become more active. Becoming a positive force in their lives, she would like to see more liberal thinking in the community.
Thanks, Ellen. I'm going to shuffle papers a little bit longer after that comment. Charles Grady, who was your first called minister. Miss him and Claudine terribly. He now lives in Minnesota. When we came to Hendersonville, he said, here's a brief response in very general terms. I hope it will be helpful. When we came to Hendersonville in the fall of 1990, Claudine and I found a lively group of Unitarian Universalists in rented quarters, almost bursting at the seams and unable to grow in their present situation. But I soon learned the fellowship had people assets, that's with capital P, capital A, that could not be held back. I can mention only some of them, apologizing to those I must leave out due to limitations of space and time. I want especially to hold up the Underhills, Francis and Savi, priceless gifts to us from the United States Foreign Service. With others, including the Hochschilds, they were just plain unstoppable in their devotion to both community service and liberal religious growth. Theirs was a style, and I must admit a prestige, that proved to be all important in the way we could develop in a conservative southern area. I am so proud of what the fellowship has become with excellent continuing leadership. Charles Grady. Wendell, is there anything you'd like to add to any of this? Oh.
Can't miss a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Formed this fellowship in Hendersonville, and the, one of the big reasons why was because living in Hendersonville, going to a church in Asheville, we just didn't feel part of the community, and we wanted to be part of this community and have a church, local church in this community, who would have influence in this community, and I think we have accomplished that. I mean, thanks to all of you, and when we started with those 17 members. And we had conversations saying, if we want to be a viable group that's going to be ongoing, we have to have at least 35 members. So I think we kind of did that. So, yeah. And it's been such a great thing for us as the Gaming Founders to see what has happened and all the good leadership and the people that have just stepped up to do that. I mean, this building is so great. And the Jehovah Witness building that Paula talked about, it was kind of small, and we had somebody who made some drawings, say, well, we could add this and maybe do this, and spent quite a few hours seeing how we could use that building, and it turned out it was too small, we could not use it, and the parking was not adequate, and this building became available, and about the same price, and it had a basement with that thing. I mean, this is just a great buy, and the people who used to be here ended up having to meet in the gymnasium of the Chase Christian Day School, and they lost a lot of members because they went from this a nice building to the gym and in the Faith Christian Day School. I mean, they did build a new, brand new building in Mills River, but that took me several years. So. But what a good feeling to see all of these people here. And they see the influence, all these people talking about the influence in the community and the great things that we do individually as members. It's hard to go to a meeting in Hendersonville and not see Unitarians there. We do so much and we have made such good changes in this community. So I want to thank all of you for what you have done.
Thank you, Randall. Thank you, Randall. So, hear these words by Annie Dillard in slightly different light. We're talking about gatherers, and I know there is the sense of us sitting there and thinking, they did it, who are we? Annie Dillard says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? There is no one but us. There is no one to sin, nor a clean hand, nor a pure heart on the face of the earth, nor in the earth, but only us. A generation comforting ourselves with the notion that we have come at an awkward time, that our innocent fathers are all dead, as if innocence had ever been, and our children busy and troubled, and we ourselves unfit, not yet ready, having each of us chosen wrongly, made a false start, failed, yielded to impulse and the tangled comfort of pleasures, and grown exhausted, unable to seek the thread, weak and involved. But there is no one but us. There never has been. We are all gatherers. We are all gathered here today. The dream starts with us and goes forward. Take out your hymnal and turn to number 561 if you don't know it by heart. It's The Little Piece by Margaret Mead. She has two adjectives to describe citizens. And they're two. One we remember always, committed, but it's two. The other one is what?
Thoughtful.
Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Let's all read that together, number 561, and think about just this congregation, you sitting here in this space, in this time, going forward. Let's all begin together. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. My daughter knows that by heart. I don't know why, but I think it's from hearing it here as one of her favorite sayings. I suggest you might want to learn it by heart as well.